Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with Christ-likeness, a goal for this year and every year. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Christ-likeness, a goal for this year and every year.
Lord burdened my heart with a message, and I think the message is for me more than it is for anybody else, but I want to speak to you on Christ-likeness, a goal for this year and every year. You know, we think about, you know, I'm not one, to be honest with you, to make resolutions. I'm not big on resolutions. I believe in making commitments. And one of the things that I said that I would like to do this year is to be more like Christ. You know, be more like Christ in the way I deal with the people in my life, to be more like Christ when I go in the marketplace, to be more like Christ as I stand before you every Sunday, to be more like Christ. And so as I pondered on this thought, I was led to Philippians chapter 3. And as we turn to Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about this idea of being Christ-like, not only for this year, but every year. So this is a daily commitment that we can make, is to be like Christ. And so we can start today, and the thing about this, you know, like a resolution, people start resolutions, and if they don't uphold the resolution, then they get frustrated and discouraged, and then they quit. But every day when we get up, our goal should be to be Christ-like. We should say, Lord, I got another opportunity today to get it right. Resolutions fall by the wayside. Resolutions sometimes change our life temporarily, but not permanently. But to be like Christ is a permanent change in our lives. And so Paul talks about what it means to be like Christ. So as we start this new year, let us purpose in our heart. Let us let the goal be, man, Lord, I want to be more like Christ this year. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I have may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ's likeness, a goal for this year and every year. As we think about this whole idea of Christ's likeness, there's three things that the Apostle Paul wanted to learn. As we look at verse 10, three things that he wanted to learn. Now, I need you to get this because this is going to be the basis for the rest of the message and what we'll talk about today. But Paul said that he wanted to know, that he wanted to learn three things. The first thing that he wanted to know or to learn, he said that I may know him. He wanted to know the person of Jesus Christ. This word know means to have a personal, intimate relationship with. Paul said that I want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As we think about this whole idea of knowing, we travel back to the Old Testament where the Bible says that Adam knew Eve and they bore children. Well, what does that word know means? It means that they were intimate with one another. Paul says that I want to be intimate with Christ. I want to have this personal, deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to know his person. I want to know how he lives a holy life. I want to know how he pleased the Father. I want to know how he loves others. I want to know how he exercised meekness. I want to know how he spent much time in prayer. I want to know how he did the work of the Father. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know the person of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you today, my brothers and sisters, is this your desire? Is your desire to know the person of Jesus Christ, to know who he is? I'm working on a book, and it'll probably be out in a couple years, but I'm working on it a little bit at a time. But the title of the book is Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. And so it's one thing to know all these facts about Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want to take it a little bit further. I just don't want to read the book that Pastor Glaze is working on and know about Jesus Christ. I want to go beyond what that book is talking about, and I want to have this personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to know his person. The second thing Paul says that I want to know, I want to know his power. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said that I want to know this power that raised Jesus up from the dead. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that the same power that brought Christ alive from the dead is the same power that works in us. Paul said, I want to know this power. I want to know this power that helps me to walk victorious over sin. I want to know this power that helps me to get up and live every day this life that God has called me to live. I want to know this power that causes me to get up and spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer. I want to know this power that when co-workers talk about me and put me down, that I'm able to let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back. I want to know this power. I want to know this power that helps me to overcome these besetting sins that seek to grab me and pull me down. I want to know this power that gives me victory to live and walk daily in my life. I want to know this power. And again, the idea is not just to have a knowledge of the power, but to experience the power from a personal standpoint, from a personal relationship. Paul said, I want to know the person of Christ. He said, I want to know the power of Christ. And, you know, we want to know these first two, but sometimes we shy away when it comes to the third one, when we think of this word passion. Let our minds travel back to that movie by Mel Gibson. The what? The passion of the Christ. The passion. See, sometimes we think passion is to have a bunch of emotion and have a bunch of exuberance. But that word passion also means to go through some sufferings. It means to go through a time of tribulation and turmoil. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. He says, that I may know the person, that I may know him, that I may know the power and the power of his resurrection, and that I might know his passion and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul wanted to know the sufferings of Christ. Sometimes we are persecuted. Like I shared a couple weeks ago, not like people in other parts of the country and the world are persecuted, but in our own ways, we suffer persecution. And so maybe when we feel that persecution, somebody talking about you, again, you know, just think, you know, it's all relative, right? You know, people in other parts of the world are worried about being thrown into the fire alive. And, you know, here, what are we worried about? You know, we're worried about somebody talking about us. You know, we're worried about, you know, our neighbor doing something behind our back. And so these are the things that we fret about. Just think about some of the things that we fret about. And I'm not talking about, you know, any personal sickness that you might be going through. Let's just put that aside. But, you know, because that would be suffering, you know, that would come upon you. But let's talk about tribulation that would be brought on by other people, right? That's what I'm talking about, because that's what Christ dealt with. Christ wasn't sick. You know, he didn't have to deal with any personal sickness. But what was his sufferings? His sufferings were those that were caused by other people. And so when you think about sometimes the things that you go through and how you feel, and that's just a microcosm of what Christ went through. But just think about how you feel sometimes left alone. You feel forsaken because others have tormented you, have talked about you, have put you down, have done things to you. And you feel a certain degree of suffering. And so Paul says, and if we think about Paul, just think about him for a minute. He was beaten 3 times. Now, when we say he was beaten, you know, he said he was beaten with a whip with 39 stripes. He was stoned, and he was left for dead. They can you imagine what it would be like for somebody to pick up bricks and just pelt you until you die? In the agony that you go through in that? He was shipwrecked. He was in peril in the country. He was in trouble in the city, in the wherever he went, on the ocean. He was always being persecuted. So Paul says that I might know him, and that every time I go through something, every time somebody persecutes me, that I should be able to identify with Christ. Maybe not to the degree that he went through it, but I should be able to identify with Jesus Christ in his sufferings. Paul said, I want to know that. I want to know that when I'm beat down, when I am left out to dry, when all have forsaken me and left me by myself, that I want to know how Christ felt. I want to begin to identify with him in his sufferings. That's what it means to know the passion of Christ. So like I said, we relic in the power, we relic in the person, but sometimes we avoid the passion. And so as we think about this new year, and we think about being more Christ-like, Paul says that I want to know these three things. But let me tell you this, and that is, it is not enough. It is not enough to know Christ and to know about him. That's all good. You can know the person of Christ. You can know the power of Christ. And you can know the passion of Christ, but the believer must go beyond that. The believer must go beyond that. And the believer must have a desire to be like Christ. You know, there's a whole lot of people that know about Jesus, but they're not trying to be like Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of the church that I was in Colorado. We had this basketball team, and we were playing in a league. And I remember my pastor, you know, we were out there playing, and we all came back to the huddle for to get our game plan together. And when we came back, my pastor, man, he was kind of a jokester, and he went like this. Somebody forgot to put on their deodorant. And one of the guys said, well, I know it wasn't me because I don't wear deodorant. And so, you know, it's not enough to know about deodorant, and it's not enough to have a stick of deodorant in your medicine cabinet. You got to put the deodorant on. And so this is the same thing with Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to know about him, or to know that he exists, but now you have to strive to be like him. And as we think about this, let me share with you a couple of scriptures that admonish us to do this. First, there is Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. And Luke chapter 6 and verse 40 says like this, Jesus is speaking, and he says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. The word perfect in this context refers to the student who has mastered the teachings of his teacher and has taken on his character. Oh, let me read that again. The word perfect in this context refers to the student who has mastered the teachings of his teacher and has taken on his character. That as a Christian, that you should understand the teachings of your master, who is Jesus Christ. And then every day, you should strive to be like him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you say that you're a Christian, if you say that you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then you ought to walk like Jesus Christ. There ought to be some resemblance between you and Jesus Christ. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That when we see Christ, see, here goes the way that it should be. That every day we should be looking more and more like Jesus. That when I get up tomorrow morning, I should look a little bit more like Jesus than I did the day before. And when I get up the morning after that, I should look a little bit more like Jesus than I did the day before that. And so one day when I meet him, and there's many saints that have already gone on to glory, and they've already gone on to meet Jesus. And so you have yet to meet him, but one day you are going to meet him. And so the scripture says that as I'm going on progressively more and more each day, looking like Jesus, that one day I'm going to leave this earth, or he's going to come back for me, and I'm going to be what? I'm going to be exactly like him. I'm not going to be God, all right? I'm not going to be God, but I'm going to be like Christ, and I'm going to see him as he is. And so my question to all of us is this morning, will you need, on that day when you see Jesus, will you need a light touch-up or an extreme makeover? You know, for some people, it's going to be a radical change. You know, I mean, I tell you what, I want to be walking, and again, I know I'm not there, and we're going to see some things here in a second, but I know I'm not there, but my friend, my brother, this is my desire. That when I see Jesus, I don't want it to be a radical transformation. I just want it to be like, you know, just a little bit. You know, I was messing with my barber, and you know, I was telling him, I said, man, let me and you go into business. And he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you know how when you go to the oil change place and you get your oil changed, and like if your oil starts getting low, then you can go back and they'll top it off. I said, well, what if in between haircuts, you know, people just came and you just kind of gave them a little light touch-up? He said, no, I ain't going for that. but you know, just think, you know, sometimes we don't need a whole haircut. If we just got one, you know, we don't need a whole haircut, but we might need what? We might need a little touch-up. And so that should be our prayer whenever we see Jesus, is that all it's going to take is a little light touch-up. You know, that I'm not going to have to run and do this radical transformation. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts chapter 4. See, have you ever heard that expression that whenever a person has a dog and they've had a dog for a long time, that their dog starts looking like them? Well, you know what? Now, that's not, let me say, that's not by confirmation. That's by association. Let me break it down for you. It's not because the dog is conforming to the same way you look, all right? But what is it? It's that the dog is associated with you. And so people get used to seeing you and your dog together, and they make that association. So if they see the dog by themselves, what do they see? They see the master. And so we see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, it wasn't by confirmation, it was by association, that they had associated with Christ. And because they associated with Christ, they began to look like Christ. And so what I'm saying here is that as we associate with Christ on a daily basis, then we begin to look like him. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony if somebody...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Christ's Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Christ's Likeness, a goal for this year and every year, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ's Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ's Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.